Matthew chapter 25. Before we get into God's Word, I just want to make a real quick announcement. The gift that we're blessing our pastors with is a surprise. So please don't tell them or anybody that'll tell them. I mean, those of you that struggle with gossip, we're going to pray for an extra measure of grace to be placed upon your life so that it doesn't leave this room. Can I get everybody's commitment to do that this evening? We want to be able to surprise them at the dinner. No WikiLeaks, no putting it out on social media. Let's wait and let's surprise them, amen, and let God bless them, amen? Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to start reading this evening in verse 14. This is the word of the Lord. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and he hid his Lord's money. Let's pray this evening. Father, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy, God, for your love that endures forever. And we pray, God, that this evening that you would be with us. God, we claim your promise that where 2 or 3 are gathered in your name, you are in the midst. And because we believe that your word is true and that you are faithful, we know that you are here to minister to every person as they would have a need. God, open up our hearts and our minds and our understanding. Remove every distraction, every negative thought from our mind. God, that this evening you would come and have your way and mold us and shape us into the men, women, and young people that you've called us to be, God. God, give me grace to minister your word this evening with the gift that you have given me, that you might be glorified. God, that we can be built up in the faith this evening to accomplish the task that is set before us and to fulfill your plan and purpose for our lives. God, more than anything tonight, we want you to know that we love you, that we need you, and that we thank you, God, for what has taken place in our lives. Have your way this evening in Jesus' name, and everybody said. Go ahead and have a seat this evening. You know, this evening we're going to take a look at a very familiar portion of Scripture to many. It's the parable of talents. This same, or one similar to it, is also recorded in the book of Luke in the 19th chapter. But the way that we're going to look at it tonight is as a whole. We're not going to do an expository teaching going verse by verse to get what the contextual meaning is of every verse in this parable. We're going to read it as a whole, and we're going to use it to uncover some principles that we can apply to our daily lives. Now, the last couple of weeks have been a whirlwind here at Victory Outreach. Can you say amen? We went to World Conference. We came back, immediately went into a car show, then into a rap concert, then into a park rally. So it's been like one thing after another. And as all these events have taken place, when we got back from the World Conference, I had the pleasure of taking my 14-year-old daughter with me and seeing God start to plant the seeds in her life. We were driving to the car show the following Saturday. And as we were driving, I was kind of explaining to her the different categories and car shows and how different cars are judged and all these different things. And when we got there, Pastor Joe had met somebody that was from our old neighborhood. And he had a truck, and many of you that were there saw it. It was a truck that had a custom paint job, custom upholstery. It was up on some stands, and it had a tilt front end, the back tilted. It was a completely custom truck. And I was telling my daughter that there are different kinds of car guys. There's actually a car club that is called Made Not Bought, because these individuals take pride in building their own cars and driving them daily to work and wherever it is that they need to go. Plus, they also show their cars at car shows. Then there's other guys that just take out their cars on the weekend. And they probably pay somebody to do most of the work on the car for them. And then there's another type of car at every car show that they affectionately call a trailer queen. Because these cars are never driven on the street. These cars are trailered only to car shows. You'll never see them at the parking lot at Walmart. You'll never see them driving down Central because these cars or trailer queens are only taken to the car shows. So as I was thinking and explaining those things to my daughter, I told her, Mija, you know what? Sometimes in church, it's the same way. Sometimes in church, we have the men and women that are always on the street. They wear the t-shirt. They pass out the flyers. They go to the drug-infested, gang-infested neighborhoods. We have people that go to the jails. They go to the prisons. These are the made, not bought, car club kind of people. These are the people that are walking and talking the vision of Victory Outreach. And then we have those that only come out on the weekend. Hide out all week and make an appearance on Sunday morning. And then we have the trailer queens of Victory Outreach. That only come out to events after everything is already set up. After the crowd has already gathered and ask what needs to be done. And I'm like, it's already been done. They wear the t-shirt. They talk the talk. But like the trailer queens at every car show, they're never on the street. We have men and women in our church that have the look, but are never on the street. You have the t-shirt. You have the tattoos. You have the testimony of where God has brought you from. But we're never on the street. We just want to be at the show. Let's go back to our scripture because I'm going to get in a lot of trouble with a lot of people. We'll get back to it. I'm not done yet. I'm just letting it go for a little bit. I'm letting the healing start slowly. We're going to open it up here in a minute. But we're just taking a little break. In the passage of scripture that I wrote, that I read, we see that there is a very unique interaction that is taking place between four individuals. There are four key figures in this portion of Scripture. Some of the terms that are used are unrelatable to us today because the words like servant and some translations say slave are terms that are not common in the generation or in the environment that we're currently living in. But back in those days, it was a very common practice for people to have servants and for people to have slaves. So the fact that Jesus, in saying this parable, says that there was a master that took the time to have an interaction with people that were inferior. You have a superior person, a person that is rich, that is powerful, that has a prominent place in the community, is stopping to talk to somebody that is insignificant, somebody that has no rights, somebody that doesn't have a position in the community, somebody that doesn't even have their own possessions. But nonetheless, there is an interaction that takes place. And the master goes to the slaves or to the servants, and he entrusts them with something that is valuable, something that is his. And he gives them an opportunity to do something with the gift that he is giving them. Two of the three slaves do exactly that. They take advantage of the opportunity that they have. And they go out and they double everything that the master has entrusted to them. But there was one individual that instead of doing something with the gift that the master had given him, the Bible says that he went and he hid it. So let's talk about the first two. You know, recently at work, I've in the last 6 months, I probably had the same amount of teams with different people, different personalities. And one thing that I've known and I continue to employ is that in any group environment, you will always have what we call top performers. You will always have the go-getters. You will always have the individuals that are self-motivated that'll go out and do the best with the opportunity that you have. I don't have to really worry about them. I don't have to worry about motivating them. I don't have to worry about encouraging them. I don't have to worry about monitoring them because these people are self-sufficient. Pastor Danny was talking to us about a book that's called Shepherding Horses. And that's what I do with top performers because they're self-motivated. They're strong individuals. They have a strong character. So I just shepherd them. I don't try to break them. I don't try to do anything but guide them in the right direction. But then we have middle and low performers. These are the individuals on my team that need the extra help. They need extra guidance. They need extra encouragement. Those are the people that I focus on because the top performers are always going to be top performers regardless where they're at. And as I was thinking about that at work, I was comparing it to this parable because the first two are top performers. These guys saw an opportunity to do something. But I want us to stop for a moment and look at the significance of what they're doing because remember that they are slaves. They are the property of another individual. They are insignificant. They're not citizens. They don't have any rights. But here, a master, a wealthy man, has come and entrusted them with something valuable. And for the first time in maybe all of their lives, they feel a sense of importance. They feel a sense that somebody has trusted them with something. And they said, I have this opportunity, so I'm going to make the best of the opportunity that I have. And as we relate that to our daily life with Jesus Christ, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has done the same with us. Because the Bible says that Jesus left his throne in heaven to come to this earth to be a living sacrifice, to redeem us from the wages of our sin so that we didn't have to go to hell. He paid the price. His precious blood redeemed us. He saved us from a life of misery by His death on the cross. He gave us the greatest gift that anybody could ever give us. But more than that, God has given us a gift of hope. God has given us the gift of a new life. God has given us the gift of the vision of the ministry of Victory Outreach. God has given us gifts, but the question here tonight is, are we taking advantage of the opportunities that God has given us? Are we taking advantage of the gifts that God has given us and doing something with what God has given us? God has given us so much. God has given our lives back. I don't know about you, but God gave me my life back. When I thought that God had turned His back on me, when I thought that God didn't love me anymore, when I thought that there was no hope for my life, when I thought that I would never preach the gospel of Jesus Christ ever again, Jesus Christ came into my life, and because of His grace and His mercy, I stand here this evening as a testimony of what God is able to do in an individual's life. You know, sometimes we're at the park rallies or we're having an event and Brother Dre will come up to me. He goes, hey, I got you scheduled to give a testimony. And I look at him and I said, dude, again? Everybody's already heard my testimony. They can probably repeat it back to me. He said, well, you're on the list. I go, okay. But then as I start there and I'm thinking, okay, I'm almost going to get on. What am I going to say? What am I going to say? Lord, tell me, what am I going to say? And then God starts taking me back. He starts taking me back to when I was lost. He starts taking me back when I was addicted to heroin and didn't think I would ever stop. He took me back when I was in and out of facilities, when I was in and out of jail, when I was in and out of drug treatment centers. He took me back when my family used to tell me that I was never going to amount to anything. He takes me back to where I had lost everything and didn't have no hope and no direction. And He starts to remind me of His promises. He starts to tell me that my life is not the same anymore. He starts to remind me of everything that he's done in my life. And how can I not testify to the miracle working power of God when God has done so much in my life? I was lost, hopeless, probably should have spent the rest of my life in prison because of the things that I did. But because of his grace and his mercy, he pulled me out and I'm able to lead a normal and productive life, which I never thought that I would ever do. The only thing that came out of my neighborhood were pintos that spent the rest of their lives in prison and people that OD'd on heroin. But because of his grace and his mercy, I'm here today just because of what God has done in my life. So I don't understand about when they call people up to give a testimony and they say that they're shy. What do you mean you're shy? You weren't shy when you were out there on the streets ripping and running, robbing people to get money to buy your dope. You ain't shy when you're back at the home telling your war stories about who you stole and how much time you did and who you did time with. You're not shy when it comes to that. We're not shy to talk about all the things that we had with the drug money that we got from selling dope. How dare we hold back from testifying for what God has done in our life? I mean, I remember Saturday, I was so blessed because we're at the park rally and I'm off to the side. Pastor Danny starts testifying. And when Pastor Danny starts shaking his leg, you know something's getting ready to jump off. You know he's excited. And I started hearing his testimony about when on that Thanksgiving morning where he's in his bathroom ready to take his life, thinking that there was no hope, that it was hopeless, that the only solution to his problem was ending his own life. But it was there that Jesus Christ came into his life and showed him a different way. And as a result, he now pastors this church here in the city of Albuquerque. He can't help but get excited for what God has done in his life. God set us free. Oh, come on. God set us free. We were bound to drugs. Same thing with Pastor Charles. He told me before the park rally, this was my old neighborhood. I used to rip and run here. I was selling dope and dodging bullets. And he got up and he started to testify. And he wasn't over here all conservative. He's excited about what God has done in his life. He's excited that he's not that crack addict anymore. He's excited that he's not waking up in the penitentiary anymore. He's excited that God is using him to reach hurting people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. These first two individuals got an opportunity to do something with their lives. That's what God gives us. That's what the Ministry of Victory Outreach provides for us. Where else would people welcome people like us to preach the gospel? We couldn't go to some ordinary church and say, here comes Brother Mark. Let's let him preach. You'd have everybody reaching for their wallets and their purses. They'd be online looking me up to see if I had any warrants so they could call the cops or maybe cash in on a $100 reward. They wouldn't accept us. But here in the Ministry of Victory Outreach, you can be a dopey, an ex-dopey. You can be an ex-gang member. You can be an ex-prostitute. And there is a place for you to develop the calling and the purpose that God has for your life. That's what these two slaves did. They had an opportunity to see outside of their circumstance. They entertained the idea of what could be if they trusted God. They entertained the idea of maybe God has something different for me. Instead of settling for the same thing over and over, thinking that we're never going to amount to anything, I want you to know tonight that we serve a mighty God. We serve a God that does not know the meaning of the word impossible. We have a God that can take in good for nothing, an addict and make him a supervisor in one of the largest cable companies in the United States. That's what God is able to do. And how can we not testify? How can we not take advantage of that? Brother Devin was picking up the offering. He was talking about the keys to success by giving. How many of us would never have a job if it wasn't for Jesus Christ? But now God gives us an opportunity to provide for our families. But what are we doing with that opportunity? Are we investing in the kingdom of God? Or are we investing in the kingdom of me? Like the song said, if it wasn't for Jesus, where would I be? It's in Christ alone that we're able to do the things that we do and get where we're going to get because of His grace and His mercy. These two guys took advantage of that opportunity. We have so many opportunities in Victory Outreach to do something for the kingdom of God. Every rally, every event, the 3-on-3 basketball tournament, every church service, kids gang, youth services, parking lot, ushering. There are so many opportunities for us to do something for God in gratitude for what God has done for us. These two individuals were grateful that somebody had taken the time to say, here is something valuable, do something with it. They were probably freaked out that they would even take time to talk to them. But when they got the gift, they did something with it. What are we doing with the gift that God has given us? Are we investing in the kingdom of God? Are we serving the Lord? Are we involved? Or are we just content to be coming to church on Wednesdays and Sundays? You see, the third guy, he got one talent. Not five, not three, just one. Because the Bible says that God gave everyone according to their ability. You know, the Bible says that God will never give you more than you can handle. So because homeboy couldn't handle more than one, God gave him one. And he said, what you going to do with what I gave you? I'm not expecting you to be like the other guy that has five. I'm not expecting you to be like the other guy that has three. I want you to handle what you got. You see, but sometimes we're more concerned about what other people got instead of what God has given us. I was talking to Brother Sean earlier, and I told him this past week I had to let one of my employees go. Pulled him into the office. And I said, listen, your conduct is unbecoming what we're trying to accomplish here. And unfortunately, we're going to have to separate you from employment. And he said, well, what about this guy? I've seen him do this, and I've seen him do that. And what about this supervisor? He does this, and he does that. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. This ain't about anybody else but you. I need you to own what you did. I need you to see the effect that you had on our customers. I don't need you to be finger-pointing everybody around you. I need you to own what you did. And even after a half an hour conversation, he didn't get it. He felt he was being singled out. He didn't own what he had done. You see, and that's the way we are a lot of times. God blesses us. God saves us. He delivers us. He starts to restore our family, and we're more concerned about what other people are doing than what God is doing in our life. And we use other people as an excuse as to why we're not serving God. I love going to the prisons, and it never fails. I talk to somebody, and they say, you know what? The reason I don't serve God is because there's so many hypocrites. Okay, there's a lot of hypocrites, but that has nothing to do with you. You don't have to be a hypocrite. Just because you think that there are hypocrites doesn't mean you got to be a hypocrite. You got to own your own stuff. You have your own walk. You have your own relationship with God. And unfortunately, in the church, the same thing happens. We blame other people as to why we're not serving God. Because this person does this person does that. The third person in this portion of Scripture did something very different than the first two. You see, the first two seized the opportunity. And they transformed their way of thinking. In order for them to double what they had been given, they couldn't think like a slave. They had to think like a normal person that was investing what had been given to them. They had to stop thinking the way they had been used to thinking. The third guy refused to change his way of thinking, his mentality, and his attitude. He remained a slave. In his mind, he remained a slave, thinking that he could do no better than he had done all his life. thinking that he didn't deserve any better than he had received all his life. And I think that in our church, sometimes what prevents us from stepping out and doing the work of God and doing the work of the ministry is that we still have a slave mentality. We still buy into the things that they told us when we were little. We still buy into the way that our life has been for such a long time. When we were young, or when I was young, they used to tell me that I would never amount to anything. They told me that I would end up just like my father, which would have been cool if he was a lawyer or a doctor or something, but he was a career criminal that spent most of his life in prison. So when they told me that I was going to end up just like him, I never thought that my life could be better than that. I thought that that was my destiny. I thought that I could never improve on that. And growing up in a single-parent family where my mom was an alcoholic, my dad was in prison, I have three sisters and one brother, five of us, plus my mom, living in the projects in a one-bedroom house. Thinking that that was what the world had given me, that was the hand that I got dealt. Thinking that my life could never be better. And you see, the sad thing is that we come to Christianity and God changes the outward. He removes the drug addiction, but sometimes we don't change in our mind. We still think the way we used to think when we were young, when we were little. We don't think that we can do those things. But the Bible tells me that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Everything you thought that you could never do, you can do it with Jesus. Everything that you thought that you could never accomplish, you can accomplish it with Jesus if you just take the risk and say, God, I'm going to trust you with my finances. I'm going to give because I trust that you're going to bless me. I'm going to trust you with my time, with my resources. I'm going to get involved in ministry. I'm going to volunteer for our events. I'm going to go to Vetti. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to get more training in the Bible. I'm going to get involved in all these things because I'm going to dare to believe that God can do something in my life. I'm going to dare to believe that God can use me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to dare to believe that God is going to bless me with a good job. I'm not going to go apply for any job. I'm going to trust and believe that God is going to give me the perfect job, the right job, and that God is going to promote me. He's going to elevate me. He's going to do things in my life that I never thought possible. And you can ask any man or woman of God that has been walking with God for any length of time. God has allowed us to do things that we never thought that we would do in our lives. Go places we thought we would never go. Experience things that we never thought that we would experience. I remember one time I started working where I'm working. And I took my 14-year-old daughter to eat at the Cheesecake Factory. I ate to the Cheesecake Factory. Mind you, I'm an individual that was state raised, welfare, food stamps, incarceration, all the time that I was growing up. I didn't eat Chinese food until I was 22 years old in the home. In my house, we didn't use utensils when we ate. Not because we didn't know, we didn't have any. We use tortillas as a spoon, fork, knife, everything. And to be sitting, not in a chow hall in some prison, not in my cell, but sitting in my right mind with my daughter saying, Mija, order whatever you want. I got this. That is what God is able to do in the life of an individual that puts his trust in God. That is willing to change our mentality and say, I'm not a slave anymore. Why not me? Why can't I experience everything that God has for me? Regardless, you can ask Pastor Pat. It's not our education that got us our jobs. And it's definitely not our good looks. Maybe mine, but not his. It's definitely none of those things that got us our job. It's by the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ that these things happen. The Bible says that he hid the talent that God gave him. In the ground, he buried it. He never used it. He never used what God gave him. There are pastors in this place tonight, preachers in this place tonight, evangelists, home directors, men and women of God, that God has given you a gift. He's given you a talent. Don't hide it. Don't dig a hole and stick it in the ground and say, one day I'll go back and I'll pick it up. The time is now. God wants to use your life. The reason why you're here this evening is because God wants to say, tonight is the night that you pull that talent out and you start using it for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. If you can come to the piano, please, this evening. The last man in this portion of Scripture wasn't willing to break free from that slave mentality. I don't know about you, but I've been beat up enough in my life. I've been beat up in my life enough. I've been told that I couldn't do it too many times. I've been told that I shouldn't do it too many times. But every time God, in His faithfulness, has said, it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what other people think. If I am for you, who can be against you? And my God is your God. The Bible says that there is no respecter of persons, that God is not a respecter of persons. And every person that walks through the doors of Victory Outreach, every man, every woman, every young person that walks through the doors of our church has the same opportunity. There is no reason why you cannot fulfill the plan and the purpose that God has for your life. There is no reason why God cannot raise you up to live the life that you've been wanting to live. You don't have to live in poverty. You don't have to live with rejection. You don't have to live in despair. You don't have to live feeling like you're never going to amount to anything or accomplish anything in your life because that person is dead. We're not there anymore. God is doing something new in our lives. We're going to finish things in our life. We're going to be somebody in the kingdom of God. God is going to use us to reach hurting people. But tonight's going to be the turning point for a lot of us, where we pull what God has done in our life. God has given us testimonies. You guys, sometimes we don't understand the power in a testimony. There are people out there that don't think that they can ever be free from drugs. They feel that that's hopeless. And you have a testimony that can help change their life. You can go up to somebody and say, God did it for me. He can do it for you. People that come from a life of alcoholism, that God has set you free. Gangbangers, that God has set you free. You have a testimony that people need to hear. You have a talent that people need to see so that they can believe that God is able to do it in their lives. But what are we doing with what God has given us? Are we hiding it? Or are we putting it to work? I want you to bow your heads with me all over this place this evening. Come on, right there where you're at, just bow your heads and close your eyes. And just give the Lord a little opportunity this evening to minister to your heart. Because I believe that in this place tonight, there are people that you're selling yourself short. You love Jesus. There's no question in my mind that you love Jesus. And you're thankful for what God is doing in your life. There's no doubt that you're thankful. But there's something holding you back from giving everything completely, totally over to the Lord. And I believe this evening that it's going to take a shift in our mentality to break free from that slave mentality that tells us that we can't do it. We've been lied to for too long. Even before we came to Jesus, and even now, the enemy comes and whispers and says, you're not good enough. You're not polished enough. You can't speak right. You're not educated enough to do anything. I want you to know tonight, people of God, that that's a lie from the pits of hell. God has called you, hand selected you. You're precious in the sight of the Lord. And he has a plan and a purpose for your life. Will you dare to believe him tonight? Will you dare to believe in the promises of God that he has more for you than what's going on in your life right now? Will you dare to believe God for the impossible situations in your life? Will you dare to believe God for the supernatural? That God would use you, use your life to win others. Maybe you're here this evening. You've never given your life to Jesus. And maybe that's one of the reasons why. Is because you never thought that you could or that you would be successful. I want you to know that the Spirit of the Lord is here this evening. And as he's tugging at your heart, he's letting you know that you can do this. He is with you to uphold you, to strengthen you, to comfort you, to be with you every step of the way so that you can be that man or that woman of God that he's called you to be. In just a few moments, the worship team is going to sing this song. And I'm going to invite every individual. God has ministered to your heart. You're tired of the way that your life is right now. You want more. You want to dare to believe God for the impossible in your life. Maybe you feel like you've hidden your talents and haven't really used them to glorify the Lord. And tonight, God is challenging and telling you, that's you. You're that person that's hiding your talent. You have more to offer. But you need to change your mentality and believe God for the impossible. As they sing this song, I'm going to invite you to come from all over this place this evening. I surrender. I surrender.